morning. A lot has been happening in a very rapid pace in this world today. There are terrorists all over the world killing innocent people. We've even had terrorist attacks here in our own country, in our own homeland. There's been the Twin Towers, the Pentagon, the Boston Marathon bombings, Fort Hood shootings. And there was even those that were beheaded out in Oklahoma, and the list goes on and on. Even within the last couple of weeks, we've had terrorist attacks on our homeland. On July 16th, just a few days ago, a man named Muhammad Yusuf Abdulaziz opened fire on a military installation in Chattanooga, Tennessee. You've probably all heard the news reports. He did a drive-by shooting at a recruitment center, and then he traveled to a Naval Reserve Center and continued shooting. He was later killed by the police, but not before he had killed four Marines, a Navy sailor, a Marine recruiter, and a police officer were also wounded. And I think the sailor also died a couple of days later. These types of things are happening more and more. This country talks a lot about terrorist attacks, about securing our homeland, here at home and in places abroad. They talk about our enemies throughout the world. They talk about countries like Iraq and Iran. We just had that new deal with them to try to get them to not receive a nuclear bomb. Of course, I don't know if we have a lot of confidence in the deal they made, but we talk about Iran getting a nuclear weapon. Of course, they always chant death to America, so there's trouble everywhere in the world. Almost anyone in America can give you some kind of a listing of the most destructive acts of terror that have happened to this country in the past few years, and some of the threats that we face around the world. But I think two of the most destructive acts that have been perpetrated on this country have been perpetrated from within this country, not from those on the outside. Not from Muslims, but by our own Supreme Court of the United States. The first destructive act happened in 1973 when they made abortion legal in this country. The second destructive act was perpetrated by the Supreme Court, happened just this year, when they legalized same-sex marriage. The destruction and the devaluation of human life, the destruction of motherhood, and now the destruction of marriage and family itself has happened from within our own borders. No bomb, no explosion, no attack, and no assault on people physically can come anywhere near the kind of destruction this nation is suffering now because of these acts. Our country is being attacked by people most responsible to protect it. Those who are charged with upholding the law. No human court has the authority to redefine morality. But this human court has said murder is not murder, and marriage is not marriage, and family is not family. They have usurped the authority that only belongs to the Almighty God, who is the creator of life, the creator of marriage, and the creator of family. Turn over to Judges chapter 21, verses 25. Judges chapter 21, verse 25. It says, in those days there was no king in Israel, so every man did that which was right in his own eyes. The Bible says that back here in the book of Judges, at that time, they did what was right in their own eyes. And it is happening again here in this nation now. People are doing what is right in their own eyes. So in reality, we're not talking about people who choose to do wrong. At least that's not the way it's worded here. They choose to do right. The Bible says they choose to do right. But the problem is they choose for themselves what is right. That's the problem. They are sincere people who said, I want to do right, but I will decide what is right. But of course, we all know that the Word of God is the only place we can find what is truly right. No one has a right to decide what is good and evil. No preacher has a right to decide what is good or evil. No church has a right. No young person has a right. No politician has a right. No judges or politicians have a right to decide for themselves what is good and what is evil. Only the Almighty God has a right to decide what is good and evil. The scripture says that every man did right. But he decided what was right for himself in his own eyes. The abortionists have decided what they're doing is right. And they will argue with you until the cows come home that what they're doing is right. Because in their eyes it is right. Planned Parenthood has decided that abortion is right. The U.S. Supreme Court has decided that it is right. Over 50 million women in the United States have decided that it is right. But God said it is evil. But they are still doing what is right in their own eyes. If you think back to the Garden of Eden, even Eve decided it was right to eat the forbidden fruit in the same way. But God told her it was evil. The gay community has decided that homosexuality is right. The people in the book of Judges have decided for themselves what was right. Only God has the right to decide what is good and evil. These may be sincere people who all say, I will do right. But the problem is they are deciding what is right in their own eyes. Proverbs 14 verse 12. You don't have to turn there, but Proverbs 14 verse 12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but to the end thereof is the ways of death. Even Adolf Hitler, in his own twisted mind, thought what he was doing was right. He wrote a book called Mein Kampf, I don't know how you pronounce it. But it's translated, it means my struggle. It was an autobiographical manifesto by the socialist leader Adolf Hitler. And in this book, Hitler wrote, hence today I believe that I am acting in accordance with the will of the Almighty Creator. By defending myself against the Jew, I am fighting for the work of the Lord. So Adolf Hitler sincerely in his mind thought what he was doing was right. And he was able to justify it, mass murdering millions of innocent people. In his mind, he was right. But that doesn't make it right. That doesn't make it right in God's eyes. Anything can be justified if you deny God and his law. Because then man becomes the highest moral authority. But God's law is the absolute final authority. But if we start to do what we think is right, it will end in disaster, as we read in Proverbs. And that is what we're experiencing right now in this country. It is important that we never let ourselves fall into that way of thinking. God's law is the highest law in the universe. Hitler claimed what he was doing was right. Was doing was the will of the Almighty Creator. And in his mind, he was right. Throughout history, men and women have suppressed the truth to make what they wanted to do seem right in their own eyes. That has never been more obvious to me than right now with the pro-abortion politicians we see in our nation right now. I'm sure you've heard or maybe even seen videos this week. I think there's 4 videos that have been released in the last 2 weeks from a group called Center for Medical Progress. I don't know if you've seen the videos. You probably heard about them if you haven't seen them. I've seen them on television. I've also seen them online. There's 4 videos that they released. They're undercover videos that show Planned Parenthood employees discussing how to best kill and dismember babies as to not to damage them too much so they could still sell their body parts, you know, to make a profit. So they can harvest the parts to sell for profit. Now many of you, as I said, probably saw these videos, but if you haven't, I can tell you they are very disturbing and gruesome. Especially when you see these so-called doctors sitting there eating their lunches. One of them sitting there eating a salad, munching on a salad, drinking her wine all the time, talking about how much money she can make by harvesting the organs and parts of these aborted babies and then selling them for profit. Each video gets worse than the one before it. And this guy that made them named David Dialaden said that there's 8 or 10 more that he has that he's going to release later. And he said, those are even more horrific than the 4 he's already released. So we will see. It's hard to believe that these women in these videos are even human beings when they sit and talk about dismembering human beings to sell for profit. What has to happen to a person to become so numb to human suffering to sip wine while you talk about dismembering children to sell their parts? And when our politicians are asked about it, to their credit, there are some who are outraged by it and then denounce it. But there's a disturbing number of politicians that I saw interviewed about it who still support what Planned Parenthood is doing. They said it's vital scientific work. That's what they say. We need this scientific work to further the welfare of mankind. Because these body parts are used in scientific research to help cure diseases and help us all live longer. Their rationale is that scientific work that will help us all to live a little bit longer. That's how they justify it in their own minds. That's how they see it in their eyes. That's how they make it right in their own eyes, as we already read. I was watching the news the other day, and a commentator came on. His name's Greg Gutfeld. Maybe you've seen him or heard of him. But he said something interesting on one of his shows, and I went online, and they had the transcripts from the show, so I copied it here. I just thought it was interesting the way he put this. He was talking about these videos, and he said, quote, "We now have a reversal that we've seen in our society. We used to have the idea of protecting children. The adults would sacrifice all they would have to give children a better life. Adults would work and die so the next generation would grow and prosper. But now we have seen it reversed. We have reversed it so that the adults use children in order to survive. Because now we have this tissue that can help us to live longer. And once you've accepted this idea, you can use this tissue to make yourself healthier. What's to stop you from making it into a nutritional supplement? What's to stop you from any kind of weird, bizarre, amoral act because you're already made the leap? If you're okay with this, then you're okay with everything, and nothing would stop us." And that's the end of the quote. I thought that was interesting the way he put it, that our society has kind of reversed the way we think. We used to want to care for our children, and now it seems like we're using them to care for ourselves. We are becoming a barbaric nation. And yet this practice is still right in the eyes of almost half of the people in this country. In fact, the Justice Department in our own country refuses to investigate this organization for trafficking human parts, which is obviously against the law. Instead, I think that they're investigating the people who made the video, because they say they made the videos illegally. Our own president showed his support for these brutal acts this week when he said, "Thank you, Planned Parenthood, and God bless you." This is what our leaders say after all this barbaric stuff has been released about this group. They say, "Thank you, Planned Parenthood, and God bless you." Do you really think God wants to bless Planned Parenthood? This is becoming an increasingly brutal world we live in. Turn over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 2 to 5. 2 Timothy 3, verses 2 to 5. "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of mercy, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without some self-control, brutal," it says, it's talking about the end times, "despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away." Paul said in the last days, men will be lovers of themselves. And we can see that in the story that I just went through. How much more could you love yourself than you'd be willing to sacrifice a child to do medical research so that maybe you can live a few months longer? Paul also said that in the last days, men will be brutal. I think we can see that, the brutality in this nation. The Greek word for brutal, well, I'm not going to be able to pronounce it, it's anmerios, something like that. It literally means untamed, savage, or brutal. And if you saw these videos, you would agree that they are savage and brutal. Life has been devalued to a point that people can dismember babies and sell parts for profit. And our government will defend it and even celebrate it. I think of the lack of respect for human life has effects that go beyond that, though. It's far-reaching throughout our society. It devalues human life in general across our society. Why do you think there are so many mass shootings these days? I think part of it is because human life is no longer valued. There's been a devaluing of human life. Young kids go out and shoot up schools, they shoot up movie theaters, because they have no value for human life. And why should they? They've been taught that it doesn't have value. Human life has been devalued to the point that people just don't care. It can take a life without blinking an eye. If you see these videos, you can see that in action. Just this Wednesday, I'm going to give you a few examples of just what happened this week. Just this Wednesday, a man named Jason Shane and his wife, Tana Shane, they're a husband and wife, and they stopped to help a stranded motorist in Montana. Now, it kind of made me think, because we just drove through Montana 2 weeks ago. All they did was stop to help a stranded motorist, something I've done dozens of times. But they were both shot and killed, and a daughter that was with them, she was shot as well, but she survived. She was running away and shot in the back. They were shot by a man named Jesus Diniz. And he told the investigators that he shot the three who stopped to help him because their daughter had laughed at him. That was his reason. She laughed at me, so I shot. All three of them. He shot them dead because she laughed at him. Human life has been devalued to the point where people just don't care. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, another thing that happened this week. Two teenage brothers stabbed to death their family. Then they planned to go on a massive shooting spree to rival Columbine, they said. Sources say that the brothers had 3,000 rounds of ammunition delivered to their house, and that they had planned to use the ammunition to go on a shooting spree with the aim of becoming as infamous as the Columbine shooters. Both these things happened this week. Human life has been devalued to the point that people just don't care. And I think aborting millions of babies over the years has hardened the hearts of many in our nation. So what does God do when a nation no longer will listen to him? What does he do? Turn your Bibles over to Romans chapter 1. What will God do when a nation turns his back on him? Romans chapter 1. Now the heading above these verses says God's wrath against a sinful humanity. Now I'm going to start here by reading in verse 18 to kind of just set the stage. Romans 1 verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." This section is about the wrath of God. It says that the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and those that suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And that's exactly what we see happening in this nation today. The truth is being suppressed. God's truth is being suppressed. Now drop down to verse 28. "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge," there's certainly those in this nation who do not want to retain God any longer in their knowledge, "God gave them over to a debased mind," or a depraved mind, "to do those things which are not fitting." So because they did not retain God in their knowledge, he gave them over to a depraved mind. In other words, God said, if you don't want to look to me for my knowledge, then I'm going to turn my back on you and just let you go. He will let them go ahead with their evil thoughts and their evil deeds, and he will no longer be involved. I want to turn over to a couple more sets of scriptures here. This one's in Judges 10. You wouldn't necessarily have to turn there because I'm going to be reading a couple long verses here. But it's Judges 10 verses 11 to 14. It's along the same vein. We're going to come back to Romans 1 too, just to let you know. But turn over to Judges, well, you don't need to turn over to Judges 10, 11 to 14, but I'm going to read it. "So the Lord said to the children of Israel, did I not deliver you from the Egyptians, from the Amorites, and from the people of Ammon, and from the Philistines, and from the Sidonites, and the Amalekites, and the Moabites, who were oppressing you, and cried out to me, and I delivered you from their land? Yet you have forsaken me, and served other gods. Therefore I will deliver you no more. Go and cry out to your gods, which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in your time of distress." I believe that's a reflection of what we can see happening in this country right now. God is saying, I'm done with you. Go cry out to your own gods. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 21 to 24. This is very similar sentiment here. Proverbs 1, verses 24 to 31. It says, "Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand, and no one paid attention, and you neglected all my counsel. It did not want my reproof. I will even laugh at your calamity. I will mock you when dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes out of the whirlwind, when distress and anguish come on you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me. Because they hated knowledge, They did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be satisfied with their own devices. It's the same, you know, same way of thinking, the same story as we just read in Judges and in Romans. There comes a time when God abandons men. God comes to a point where he lets a people go, lets them go to their own consequences, to their own sinful choices. Now I want to go back to Romans 1, like I said, and look at that a little bit more. In Romans 1, verses 18 to 32. Now I'm going to read all those verses from 18 to 32, and I know it's a little bit long. But because it really sums up what happens when a nation turns their back on God, and what the results really look like when collectively a nation turns their back. Like I said, I want to read Romans 1, 18 to 32. And I want you to think about the two Supreme Court rulings that I just talked about earlier. The one that legalized abortion back in 1973 and the one that now legalizes gay marriage that happened just this year. As I read that, just think about the consequences of those two rulings. Okay, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes have been clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and his Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. For professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, to exchange the truth of God for a lie, and worship and serve the creature, rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what was against nature. Likewise, the men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust for another man. And men committed what is shameful in receiving in themselves the penalty of the error which is due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do these things which were not fitting, being filled with unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, malice, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They all whispers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteousness of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So not only did they do all these things, but they also approved of others who were practicing the same. Now I think it's interesting here in verse 26, something that it says, just a thought. In verse 26 it says, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged their natural use for what was against nature. I thought it was interesting here because it says, for even the women. As if it would be unusual for the women to do this. Of course, we would expect the men to go bad. Usually in our society, the men, I don't know, are the coarser, perhaps more corrupt, easier, go towards bad a little bit easier. But it says, for even the women. It is usually men who go bad first. The women usually have more of a conscience. They have a little more self-control. But if you watch the Planned Parenthood videos, as I did, all the doctors in those videos, the ones I saw, talking about selling the baby parts were women. That really struck me when they were all women sitting there talking about this, and it struck Renita too because we talked about it. It makes you think, how can a woman act so callously towards a child? You would expect perhaps a man to act this way. Men are grumpy, callous, cruel perhaps. But that's not the way God made women. You would expect a man to act this way, but not a woman. A woman has a natural connection with a baby. You can see it. When any woman sees a baby, there's a natural connection, the mothering instinct. This is the way God created us. Even in the animal world, it's the female one who protects and nurtures the young ones. It's natural. But we have gotten so far off track in this country that it says even the women, and it's even the women who we see in these videos, eating their salads, sipping their wine, all the while talking about dismembering the babies and selling them for profit. One even talked about how she could buy a new car if she made enough money. Usually the last to be affected in the decay of morals is the mothering instinct and a protective instinct over children. But when God abandons a nation, even the mothering instinct can be lost. In verse 28 in Romans here, it says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do these things which were not fitting." So what is a depraved mind? Well, the word literally means tested and found useless. That's what depraved means. It was tested and found useless. Disqualified for its intentional purpose, a non-functioning mind is what that word means. And what happens as a result of having a depraved mind? Well, that you can see in verses 26 and 27. "For this reason, God gave them up to their vile passions. This is the result of a depraved mind. For even their women exchanged their natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving themselves the penalty of the error which is due." Now drop down to verse 29. "Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they all whisperers, backbiters, hated for God, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, and unmerciful." So all these things are a result of a depraved mind. And you notice in that list it includes murder, which is abortion. It also includes homosexuality and gay marriage. Since Genesis, God makes it very clear He made male and female. Nothing in the middle. He made male and female. He said marriage is when a male and female come together and create union for life and have children. That's what marriage is. Now the objective of Satan, and this is all, of course, comes back to Satan and what he's trying to do in this world. The objective of Satan is to destroy everything that God has made, everything that is good, everything that God has made that is good. Satan wants to shatter the family, destroy the family. The goal in all this same-sex marriage stuff is the total elimination of marriage and the elimination of the family unit. The normal reason for marriage, a man and a woman come together to have children. That's the normal reason, to reproduce, have children. That has been completely convoluted. Now you don't need a husband and a wife to have children. You can have, you know, there's all kinds of different combinations out there. So why do you need a family? Why do you need a husband? Why do you need a wife? We're already at about 50% of children in America that are born in unmarried parents. And it's going to get worse and worse as marriage slowly disappears in this nation. Now this kind of thing isn't new. You can go all the way back to the book of Genesis and see the same thing was happening then. It just keeps repeating itself throughout history. God had to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah over this very same type of thing. And in Deuteronomy 22 verse 5, I am going to read what it says here. Deuteronomy 22 verse 5, it says, "A woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all who do say are abomination to the Lord your God." Now the reason I read that is because it's not something you hear all the time about men wearing women's clothes and women wearing men's clothes. It's not something that's read about often in the Bible, but you see it an awful lot in our society nowadays where, I don't know, these people just want to cross-dress and get gender changes, and it's celebrated. You know, it's really celebrated, especially recently. The same day of the Supreme Court ruling to allow gay marriages, I was sitting on my chair there in the living room, I was watching the news. But I had the sound turned down. I often sit when I'm working and I watch the news. Sometimes I have the sound on, sometimes I don't. And I saw a picture that came up on the screen of the White House, and it had all these pretty rainbow colors across. You may have seen the same video or picture. And at first I thought, well, somebody just photoshopped that together just as a joke, because I knew that the Supreme Court just made that ruling. That couldn't possibly be real, but when I turned it on, I found out that it was not a joke. That the White House, of course, put up all the rainbow colors on the White House. Now, I was shocked. Now, you think in these days, not much would shock us anymore. But that did shock me that our country, I mean, that just kind of hit me. Wow, our country just hit another low. Another thing that depressed me this past week, I'm a big sports fan, most of you know that, I watch a lot of ESPN, and they had the ESPYs on, which is the ESPN awards that they give out for athletes for different reasons. And they have this one called the Courage Award. And you think, courage, wow, somebody very courageous, maybe a veteran or something should get this. But they gave the Courage Award to Caitlyn Jenner, Bruce Jenner, now Caitlyn Jenner, you know, whatever you want to call him. He was obviously a man. He was an athlete. He won an Olympic gold medal way back in the 70s. But he now has become Caitlyn Jenner, he wants to be called. Of course, he cross-dresses, and I don't know if he's had surgeries or whatever to change his gender. But ESPN, the biggest sports network there is, which I do watch, sometimes I get disgusted watching it, when they interject politics, they give Caitlyn Jenner the ESPY's Courage Award. You know, every time I saw that pop up, of course, I had to just turn the channel. I can't watch that. The Courage Award, which there's so many in this nation, so more deserving. It is now considered courageous for a man to wear women's clothing. And that's kind of why I read that verse back in Deuteronomy there. Another thing I noticed this week was that there's a new admissions application used by the University of California, and this is going to spread to other universities. This is the University of California. And they included 6 check boxes to describe your gender. Now, it doesn't seem like you should need 6 boxes to describe what your gender is. There are 6 boxes where you can choose male or female. You can choose trans male, trans man, trans female, trans woman, gender non-conforming, and different identity. You can fill it in to describe what your gender identity is. Now, that's happening in the University of California, and I guarantee it's going to happen in virtually all other universities on their admissions applications. It's a corrupt and perverted world. And there are more and more people who feel less and less guilty about it. Because they have convinced themselves that what they're doing is right. In their minds, they've convinced themselves it's right. But of course, we know when man convinces himself is right, it leads to destruction. Turn over with me to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. If you got boys, if you have sons, you had better be sure they become men of God. And you had better be sure they are able to judge good from evil. And if you've got girls, if you have daughters, you had better be sure that they become women of God as well. And you better be sure they are able to judge good from evil. There is something that is called good. And it has always been good and will forever be good. And there's another thing called evil. And it's always been evil and shall forever be evil. It doesn't matter what judges, politicians say. These are absolute truths for millennia. The people in our country tasked with the responsibility of thinking clearly for everyone else, like the president, the political leaders, the Supreme Court, those who are supposed to be able to use clear-minded thinking, the supposed best thinkers that we have in this nation, those who have the greatest responsibility to protect this nation, they literally cannot think straight. They call evil good and good evil. The depraved mind has reached the highest levels. There isn't a sitting judge on the Supreme Court who doesn't know what the Bible says about homosexuality. They're all very well educated, very well-read individuals, men and women. All of them know what it says, what God says about homosexuality. But they affirm it anyway, because in their mind it's right. That's the depraved mind we talked about in Romans. There isn't a sitting judge on the Supreme Court who doesn't know what the Bible says about human life and about abortion. But they affirm it anyway, because they think it's right. That's a depraved mind we read about in Romans. And in ways they have not actually, in ways that we have not seen in the recent past, God's law and the laws of this country are getting further and further apart. And they're starting to butt heads. They're starting to be, a conflict between God's law and the laws of this land. You can now lose your jobs and businesses over refusing to cater gay weddings. I mentioned that in another sermon. We refuse to pay for abortions through health. We are forced, to pay for abortions through the new health care laws and with our taxes. It actually makes me think, should I really be paying my taxes when it goes for this? When we see these videos about Planned Parenthood dismembering babies and selling the body parts for personal profit, and you realize that we are helping to pay for that through our taxes. Over $500 million of our tax dollars, goes to that organization every year. So what do we do? What can we do? We all live in a nation at a time when many have been given over to a depraved mind. So what can we do? Just as individuals. Well, I have two very simple, but I think very important things that we can do. As I mentioned, these are very simple. Many times the simplest thing is perhaps the most important thing. First, judge what is good. It's very simple. Judge what is good. Second, once we find what is good, hold fast to it. Hold fast to that which is good. Now that may sound rather simplistic, but if it were that simple, then the rest of the world would probably already be doing it, but they're not. So we need to first judge what is good. Some in our society would tell us that we're not to judge others. You can't judge me. It's not good to judge. We are not to be judgmental in our society. That's the politically correct thing, to judge another. But if we are to judge what is good, we need to judge, right? We have to be judging. Turn over to Matthew 7, verse 1. Matthew 7, verse 1. Now some will say, you can't judge me. Look what it says in Matthew 7, verse 1. They might even throw this out as a reason why you can't judge me. Matthew 7, verse 1 says, judge not, that you not be judged. Now if you just take it out of context and say it to somebody, yeah, don't judge me, so you're not judged. It seems like it is saying the politically correct thing here. Don't judge me. But is it really what it is saying here? Every scripture should be, as we know, read in context, if we were to properly understand the true meaning. So let's keep reading verses 2 to 5. Judge not, that ye not be judged. For with which judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, and do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you can see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. What we see here is that we need to judge ourselves first and remove the sins from ourselves before we can judge another. Now let's read a little bit further down in verse 15. Matthew 7, verse 15, it says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. How can we know false prophets unless we judge them by the word of God? Of course, we need to use the word of God as our measuring stick to judge anything or anybody or any sin. And that's how we know what a false prophet is, because we have to judge them using the word of God to do it. Now the next verse, verse 16 and 17. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. We need to judge them by their fruits. Again, we are told to judge. Use the word of God as our measuring stick to judge false prophets in this example. We are to judge their fruits by using God's word to measure against. Now, if you want to turn over to John 7, verse 24, there's so many examples I could go into here, but I just want to mention this one. John 7, verse 24 says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So we are told to judge righteous judgment. We cannot let somebody tell us, you can't judge me. We are to judge righteous judgment. That means we are to base our judgment upon the word of God. That's our measuring stick. Webster's dictionary says that a judge is one who declares the law. We must discern or judge on the basis of God's law, his law and none other. Hebrews 5:14 says, you don't need to turn here, but you can. It's Hebrews 5:14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So we are supposed to be able to discern both good and evil. That's part of the reason we have the Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit helps us to discern what's good and evil. Jesus said to the religious Pharisees in Matthew 12, verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of your abundance of your heart, the mouth speaketh. Jesus Christ is our example. You know, he judged those Pharisees at that time, even called them vipers and being evil and speaking. And we must have the courage to do the same thing. So we learned that it's okay to judge. In fact, we need to judge everything against the law of God to find out whether it's good or it's evil. That's the only way to find out, is to compare it to the word of God. So first, I said, judge what is good. Sounds simple. And it is simple, but it's vitally important to find out what is good, to judge what is good. Step two, hold fast to that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:19-22. Do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. So we are again told that we are to test all things. In other words, judge all things. And then once we judge them and we find out what is good, it says right here, we are to hold fast to what is good. Sounds simple, and it is very simplistic. But it's vitally important that we do these two simple steps in the world we're living in today. So again, we are told to test all things. In other words, judge all things and hold on to what is good. Now, controversy is seldom popular. Most people don't want to be embroiled in controversy. They don't like, you know, face-to-face confrontations. I don't particularly like it either. So when Paul said, hold fast to what is good, he wrote it because he knew what the hearts of men are like. He knew that our faith can sometimes waver, and we can sometimes get a little weak because we don't want confrontation. Or maybe we get a little bit tired of the constant battle. Like Israel, we can be discouraged by the length of our journey. Many of us have been on this journey for a long time. Just like ancient Israel, we can get discouraged by the length of our journey. We can get tired. Paul knows that we can get tired at times, so he reminds us, hold fast to that which is good. He knew that governments and those in power would be corrupted by Satan and decide for themselves what is right and wrong and tell us that evil is good and good is evil. So he reminds us to hold fast to that which is good. Paul knew we would face times when Satan would transform himself into an angel of light and try to make darkness appear light, and truth appear falsehood, and falsehood appear truth. So he reminded us to hold fast to that which is good. If ever there was a time in the world when God's people would be tested to see if they would hold fast to the truth or not, this time is a time. So we need to hold fast to that which is good. The question is now whether we are going to remain silent, sit still with our hands folded, and do nothing to resist the assault on God's word of those telling us that good is evil and evil is good, or will we hold fast to that which is good? Do we really understand the times that we are living in? Do we really understand the assault that God's word is under in this world? This is a dangerous time in the history of our nation, and it's a dangerous time in the history of our church. We are fast becoming a brutal nation, willing to sacrifice the lives of our children, to extend our own lives by just a little bit. We need to hold fast to that which is good. We are fast becoming a nation where the family is under attack. Homosexual marriage is legal, and if you oppose it, you are called a bigot. Marriage no longer means what it once did, and the family unity is disintegrating. We need to hold fast to that which is good. If we really mean to hold fast to that which is good, every congregation, every man and every woman within that congregation must do their part in contending for the truth. Everyone should work, and everyone should pray. The ministry should not leave the work to those in the congregation, and the congregation should not leave the work to the ministry. We all must contend for the truth. We all must work. All of us have a sphere of influence. And within that sphere of influence, we must hold to that which is good. We must be ready to unite with all others who believe the truth. We must be ready to lay aside our minor differences, because we always have some. We must be united against a common foe. We must band together and depend on each other in order to hold fast to that which is good. Turn over to Matthew 24. This is going to be the last scripture of my sermon. If you want to turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, and I'm going to read 29 to 31. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the suns were darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they who gather together his elect, and he will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. We need to hold fast to that which is good, so that we can be sure that we will be part of that elect talked about here in verse 31. So let's hold fast to what is good. Let's hold fast to that hope. And let's pray that Jesus Christ comes quickly.